Welcome back to the Roundtable. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us to all fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Janine Robitaille is Executive Director of the Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless in Albany, joining us to discuss their mission to address the needs of the homeless and low-income community by providing a continuum of services to encourage self-sufficiency, empowerment, and stability. And Janine, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I so appreciate you being here, and I appreciate the great work that you all do even more. Give us a sense of the mission and the area that you cover.
So our mission truly is to get people housed and whatever that housing may look like. So it could be permanent transitional housing. It could be they need to get into rehab. Everybody's end goal is different. Could be a nursing home, a lot of nursing home people that we get that really should be in a placement such as that. So our goal is to make people self-sufficient and help them and support them to get there, however that road may look. And everybody's journey is different.
Okay, so we'll talk about the road in a second. How did they get to you? How did they get to you so they're ready to go down the road?
So they get to us via a multitude of places. The first and most common is the Department of Social Services. So our Department of Social Services, we have a contract with, and they refer people to us on a regular basis, so into our regular licensed shelter, which has 30 beds for men and women over the age of 18.
Okay. And the coverage area being Albany?
Albany County, I would say.
Albany County, okay.
Mostly from the city of Albany.
And where are we now, a snapshot as far as need? Is it more than ever? Is it stable? How do you look at it?
So I see the need has changed, and I've been there about 12 years. To me, the need has become people who are older, people who are more disabled, and truly have a lot of barriers. So their stay with us is longer because it takes us longer to get all that in place to get them ready for housing. It used to be more of people going through one life situation in their 20s and 30s. They just need a time to get themselves together, save a couple paychecks, and move on. That seems to be not quite the population we're seeing the majority of. A lot of mental health issues. A lot of code violations to the credit of the city. They're really cracking down on people living in substandard housing. The other result of that is people have nowhere to go.
Looking at that idea of the population, of your services and the population getting older, it seems as though... And here's where Joe tells you something that you already know.
Okay.
But meaning that it seems to me that as you're going down this road and as you're working with people, then probably their situation is also changing as you're doing it, right? I mean, a health issue, whatever could happen, and then you're going down one road and suddenly you're going down another, and all of that would change quite quickly.
Yes. I think that people come in with a multitude of needs, and on the surface, you would say, oh, it's just this or it's just that. But someone who has lived in a home for 25 years and then all of a sudden has no home, the issues are much broader than one would ever guess. So we are looking at people that have, you know, from no ID to no health coverage or haven't been to the doctor in 20 years to people that really cannot live on their own and getting all the documentation necessary to get them where they should be is a hefty load.
How do you work with other homeless organizations within the Capital District?
We are part of a continuum of care, which is a HUD kind of mandate, but it's wound up being a wonderful thing. We all meet regularly. There's a board. There's a decision makers. We're all at the table to talk about what services are being provided in Albany, who can do the best, so that we're not duplicating services, and that everybody's kind of in the same direction. So we work with, the mission. We work with the Catholic Charities, the other providers of services on a regular basis. And we all have good relationships. We compete for funding at some level, but I can't say it's a direct We're quite respective of who's doing what. And are you doing it well? You're doing it well. Then I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. But there is a lot of overlap, right? I mean, there's a point where you have to sort of pass the baton.
So there's not overlap as far as there's too many shelter beds.
No, I don't mean that. Okay. I guess I overlap, but I mean meaning that eventually your service is going to necessitate their service.
So
perhaps.
We use county mental health.
Yeah.
Yes. So we do use other providers. We use ACCA for people who have some drug and alcohol addiction issues. So we ourselves have developed a continuum within Interfaith, but we can't do that without the help of all these other agencies coming in to help and do what they do.
At the risk of taking this this conversation down a road that is it's far too big to handle, I am curious as to what you said earlier about the mental health. You're doing your part, obviously, but is there a larger need? I mean, do we have a mental health system that can handle what it has, or is that a system that has been overlooked? And because there's so many people that look at that system and say it's broken, it needs to be fixed. And I'm just interested from your vantage point of how you look at it in its service of so many people who need it.
I would agree it's broken and needs to be fixed.
Okay.
I feel that they do the best they can with what they have, and we have a great relationship with the county, but they can only do but so much with the funding that they're given. So I think that if more money was put into providing more case managers, more workers, more people to do assessments, and I think that we would all be in a little better shape, because the housing is the next piece. But to get into the housing, you need the support.
Mm. And the idea of housing, and I guess this goes back to the competition question, is that at a premium, the housing and the opportunities for individuals to go into those beds, into those apartments, into those homes?
So we all apply for HUD funding to get permanent housing dollars, what they call. So they're really vouchers to help people live in apartments permanent for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And we all do that together. Again, it's a one, everyone applies.
Streamlined.
Gets, yes. And then every 2 weeks, the case managers meet. They look at the referrals. They put people who has openings. Where do they go? As a collective group, we do that. And that's been the past year. The system has worked beautifully because we don't know what another agency, if they have openings, or they don't know if we do. And so it worked out that you come in, we make the referral. As soon as you come in the shelter, that referral is made. And then a couple weeks down the road, you're ready. All your paperwork's together, and you move on. And then there's always supportive people that come with those apartments.
What's the biggest challenge in your job?
Funding.
Yeah, getting
funding
the money.
And awareness. It's a constant grind.
So let's talk about funding first, and then we'll talk about awareness, because obviously that's partially why you're here and what we're trying to do. But so in funding, and that is from individuals, but also of course from governments,
yes,
and municipalities to help doing what you're doing. And so do you feel when you go out and you start banging on doors to get that funding, how hard of a sell is it, and an understanding of what it is that you do and how you fit into a very complex system?
I think once we have the time to get with somebody and talk to them, the sell is not hard. It is getting people to sit with us to listen. Because there is a stereotype that goes with homelessness, and it's the guy on the corner, it's the panhandlers people see when they're driving home every day. And that is just not the group of people that we really are generally talking about, though those people are out there and certainly have needs as well, and we open a winter shelter for them. But it really is getting people to come to our shelter to say, it's a beautiful building. Look at the people. They're wonderful people here. It is not who you think it is. And that's forever what I'm saying. It is your neighbor. It is your grandmother. It is, your uncle. So you walk through and people are always saying, my gosh, it's a beautiful building. It's clean. It's lovely. It's bright. It's cheery. And our staff are happy. And it's not doom and gloom. And the people that are there are happy to be there because they feel supported and in a place where they're safe.
The awareness element, which of course plays into what you were just talking about, but that idea of making people aware, I, I'm I want to take this just a little bit in a different direction, in the sense of instead of asking, I guess, the obvious question of why aren't people more aware, is it how do we get to this point where there is, or maybe we're always there, that there is a negative stereotype, that there is a problem where people are taking advantage of a system as opposed to helping another human in need?
I think the people that take advantage of the system are a small, small percent. I think there's just so many people in need. I think it started way back when they closed all the mental health institutions. Mm-hmm. I think this is the trickle-down effect from that. The people that would have been in those institutions or would have been in residential settings, someone has decided that that's not really the best place or didn't want to be supported. So we are seeing a lot of those people who are undiagnosed or just kind of got through life, but are truly, most of them, either unable to work or unable to work with all these situations that are going on around them. People are always just get a job, you'll be fine. But that's not the case for everybody. No, not everybody is capable of doing that. And for the people who aren't, we want to make sure that they have a roof over their head.
I you look at, as we're talking right now, there is an active shooter on a campus in Ohio State.
Geez.
And you look at this and we don't have any details. I'm just looking at it as what we have seen in the past, where you have someone who, for whatever reason, mental issues and is dealing with it in this particular way, in a violent way. And one of the things that we're very quick to say is, well, why didn't we catch this? Why didn't the system find and ferret this person out? What did we do wrong in that process? And I'm just curious as to how, not to focus on extreme acts of violence, but how. It seems to me that you and people in your profession have a pretty good sense of who most of these people are and how they are moving through the system and what is right and what is wrong, but you're kind of helpless to do much more.
I think we're helpless to do much more without the support of other systems.
Yes.
So we kind of deal with the hand we're dealt and make the best and try to find the most support. But I think a lot of people have just slipped through the cracks. It is not easy to get into an institution, say, CDPHP, use as an example. Their beds are full, and there's only one place, to go. And I don't think that's the answer for people. But I think that there just needs to be more supportive housing. I think if you built housing like we have and provide a case manager on staff, pretty much, 5 days a week, there's checking in, there's helping them make their bills, helping them go grocery shopping. I think that is the answer to ending homelessness, be it the person who can work, maybe part-time, but maybe not so much, or the person who can work full-time and just has made poor decisions all their life because they don't know any better. So if someone is there to say, okay, this is how you're going to get your check, we're going to go pay your bills, and help people budget their money and make better decisions, in a year they'll say, I'm good. I've mm-hmm. learned. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I can move in my own apartment. I don't need the support systems. But if people don't know, they're not going to do any different.
Final question, which is, for people listening, what can they do to help?
People can go to our website. So we have a variety of ways to help on our website. It goes from volunteering to making a meal and bringing it in. You can make a meal, bring it in, sit and eat with people, mm-hmm. To giving monetarily. That's obviously, we have needs. We rely heavily on the community to support us.
Janine Robitaille is Executive Director of the Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless in Albany. We'll have a link to your website, but the link...
Thank you.
The website is...
www.interfaithpartnership.com.
Interfaithpartnership.com, and we'll have that link posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Janine Robitaille, Executive Director of the Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.